You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Some people that tell me, okay, you don't win the
You didn't win the entire competition.
Will you subscribe another time day? And will you come? And I said, yes. No. I don't want people to remember me because I win a competition, you know, today. And it would be a pleasure for me to see other band get there because they win the contest. But no, not for me. I did the experience once. I'm happy with it because we just got a lot more exposure.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Matt here from Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I hope that you had a killer weekend. I most certainly did. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal are Montreal's premier metal promoter. And if you are ever in Montreal, trust me when I say this, if you are looking for a killer show to go to, Heavy Montreal will have you covered. I am beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I would love for you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there's someone in your life that just loves extreme music and loves craft beer, well, you should definitely let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You could tell them that there are over 400 episodes where I sit down with some of the world's best metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while enjoying craft beers. If you would encourage one of your metalhead beer-loving friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. This week on the podcast, I'm very stoked to be with Steve DC and James Foster of Strig Empire. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 444.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I'm very stoked to be with James Foster and Steve DC of Strig Empire. Very stoked to be with you guys. How you doing? Metal gods in the house with Vox and Hops tonight. We've never actually met. Chris Donaldson produced your latest record, All to Dominate, that just dropped back on December. This past summer, I went to Chris's house. We drank a bunch of beers, and I tried to make you a beer. I tried to make it happen in 20 Vial, but my power was not strong enough, or I wasn't persistent enough. All of that just to say, how are you guys doing?
Oh,
we're doing pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah, pretty well. We're
getting ready for the special launching show for the album that's happening this weekend. So,
oh shit,
we're pretty up to date on this one.
Well, that's good. Thank you for taking time out of your busy jam schedule for the album launch to sit down here on a Thursday night to have a chat with me. I appreciate you taking a break 3 days before this gig.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a pleasure for us.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives and music while enjoying craft beers. Now, leading towards trying to make you a beer to celebrate what's going on there. Chris let me know that you guys are really into Pabst Blue Ribbon. So talk to me about that. Let's start with that. And I feel like it's Steve that's got something to say about this.
I just find that beer at the cheapest.
cheapest price.
Yes, and the taste is very well for me. It's like light, a little bit light. And you can drink it every day, everywhere, every hour.
It's cheap, but at least it gets the job done.
It most certainly does, and it snuck up on us on our tour in the States, because Flo tends to drink Coors Light, and everyone knows Coors Light's about 4%. And if you are used to enjoying a bunch of Coors Light and then you slip into some Pabst, which made our way into the bus cooler back in September, it was a much more rock and roll night, I'll say.
Oh, that's it. Maybe it's the reason why. You know, we're extreme rock band, and Pabst Blue Ribbon is fucking rock. Just think about South Park did an episode where every time they open a can of Blue Ribbon, they go like, tuck that!
It happens every time they open up a can.
That's so funny. That's so funny. I also am enjoying cheap beer because it was given to me, and I like that very much. But before I get to myself, let's see what James is drinking on his side.
Basic water. Not just kidding. It's vodka. Oh, my God. It's a half a liter of vodka. Y'all believe me?
It just get out from detox, you know?
So oh, okay. It's important. It's important to clean yourself up and stay to the water and stay true to your detox.
Hey, it's hip to be square.
It is. It is now. It's more and more that I do these episodes, and I'm the only one drinking. So this is a. Speaking of my free beer, cheap beer, this is my project that I just wrapped up last year. It was Metal Injection Presents Vox and Hops' Pit Culture, where I released 30 beers across the globe, starting in Japan, to Australia, to France, to Copenhagen, to Mexico, to here in Quebec and the States, obviously. But here in Quebec, I released 5 of them to celebrate the 5th anniversary of the podcast. And this is one of those. This is Mutoid and Kanawaki Brewing's Fighting Giants, and I love both these breweries, and it's an India Pale Kolsch. It's going to be good. I'm going to crack it. I haven't had it since the release party, so I'm stoked to get it. I'm going to pour this out, and I would love to hear about your very first beers. Let's start with you, Steve. What was your very first beer ever?
I think it was the lover from my cousin.
Yeah,
I was in a family party, and I was fucking young, man.
How old were you?
Oh, man, well, I was not fucking young, but I don't know. I was in a family party, maybe 11 or 12, to 12, maybe 12.
Maybe 12, yeah.
But maybe I drink some sip of beer or something like that. But this time, the guy drove me back to the place I was supposed to be. And we were just alone together. Yeah. Alone together. Ah! And
Brought a big-ass can.
King can of beer, man. And it was like, I think it was like blue or blue dry or something like that. It was a little bit heavy, but... It's the first time I remember I drink that beer alone. I was drunk for the first time.
A king can at 12 years old can hit you pretty hard, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's it for
as
me.
As long as he had good intentions for sharing a beer with you alone together.
And he's still listening to Strig Empire and drinking beer.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, GF.
Sounds like GF is a good guy. How about you, James? Do you remember your first beer?
I actually lied. This is not vodka. This is water. I'm actually someone who doesn't drink alcohol. I know, lame.
No.
Yeah, I don't usually drink alcohol other than I'm having a party. I'm having a party, and I only drink like how you say strong. Strong alcohol, like
hard liquor, vodka. Yeah,
because I don't know, beer just doesn't do it for me because I don't like fizzy drinks and as is and the only time I've drank beer was at Bakken.
Hey,
because
that's it. The guy doesn't remember, man. I was there when he drank his first beer and all the shots, man. He was fucking crazy.
The first night we were done setting up the camp, and we went into the camping site to look for you because you went looking for something with William. And we went to a bar and someone gave me a glass and poured me beer, and I was like, what do I do with this? All right, so that's a start.
It's a start. It's a nice German lager, though. So Wacken tends to have a bunch of delicious light lagers to keep the metalheads hydrated and in shape for multiple shows and many more beers.
I think I would have regretted being at Wacken and not getting drunk on beer. That would have been a mistake.
We're going to build up to Vaken. I want to hit Vaken. I have a whole spot about this that I want to talk about. We're getting there. Classic Vox and Hops question. The soundtrack of your youths. When you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to? And let's start with James on this one.
My mom listens to a lot of Quebecers music, like Mario Pelcha. But my dad is a big music fanatic and is mostly why I'm into metal so much, because he listens. Well, he's been listening to all kinds of metal, metal music, rock and jazz, blues and all of that kind of stuff. So I've always been around music since I was a child, or basically born. And I feel like it's only logical that I've turned out a musician, because I've always been around music my entire life.
Well, thank you to your dad. That's important to cater and culture our children with the things that we love. And hopefully, maybe they won't rebel against us and they might enjoy it when they get older.
What you were listening to? Are your parents when you were...
For sure. My mom was an aerobics instructor for the first 20 years of my life. So when I was a young child up until... I want to say 10 years ago, my mom was teaching aerobics. She went through it all. Like every fad of aerobics that there was, my mom hit it. She did the Pilates. She did the Tai Bo. She had the step and the music that went along with it. So that was definitely a lot of that. And funnily, I was at work yesterday and I put on like a 90s dance playlist, and all of the parents that were coming, because I work in a daycare, and my coworkers were like, "Matt, I can't believe this music's coming out of your room." And I'm like, "It reminds me of my mom." So that's that one side of it. And then my dad was the rocker. My dad loved Boston, Journey, Metallica, Bon Jovi. He had a little bit more towards the hair metal than anything else. But I definitely discovered Metallica in the car with my dad. How about you Steve? What was the soundtrack of your youth?
I listened a lot of Bon Jovi, me and Johnny Depp, you know, It's Our Mom, where, you know, John, I, you know, and Richie, oh,
hell yeah.
So we're listening a lot of hard rock format, but it was like from ABBA to Bon Jovi for the parts of my mom. My dad was more into country stuff, a lot of, Brian Adams.
That was in the car with my dad, too. Yes, I remember driving in the car. I was always in the car with my dad. And Brian Adams is one. I'm going to run to you, that song there. Damn it.
I'm going to run to you.
Exactly. Exactly. Take me to your first shows.
We were in the same car.
I think maybe the brother I forgot I had. Take me to your first shows. Do you remember the first live music you went to go see? The very first show. And are you guys always from Trois-Rivières? Is another side question.
My first show that I remember seeing was were tribute bands, were cover bands of ECDC and Kiss, which was called Kissed. Which were friends of my dad's friend. And so we went there, and it was a great show, because I loved ACDC back in the time. I was like probably 11. But this wasn't, I'm not from Trois-Rivières. I was born in Sept-Îles, which is on the... But it was probably just a small event over there. There's not a lot of things going on over there. Not a lot of music and artists are willing to go play there.
It's a trek. You got to drive up and then you got to drive back, which is...
is it worth it? Maybe, but I'm not willing to do it right now.
Same. I've never done it. How about you, Steve? Steve, your first show that you went to go see?
The very first show I saw, it was a... at the elementary school?
Really? Yeah, that's perfect.
Elementary school, I think, is a high school.
High school is secondaire. So it was in high school. Yeah,
it was in high school. I was to see a show from the student, and it was the first time I was in front of a light set up and a real drum playing with microphone and all that.
Yeah.
It was like... It's the thing I want to do. It was the first time I saw a show, and a concert, and it was, I want to do this, man.
Wow, the itch right from that time. That's awesome. I do have a memory. I think one of my first earliest bands playing that I saw was, I'm not sure I said this on the podcast, and it's funny because I've talked about this a lot with other people, is in high school as well, I went to go see the local band, like the high school band was playing the school dance. And I was in secondary one, which is grade seven. And this band was playing, and they were called Crud. And I was standing front stage, Crud with a K, of course, front stage. I'm standing in front of the singer, and it was so loud. And then he passes me the microphone to sing, and I don't know the songs because I didn't have this education yet. And it was Brohim from Pennywise.
Oh, from Pennywise!
It was. And I totally didn't know the words. And the guy was like, pfft. He was like, what's wrong with you? You know, and it's so simple and it's repetitive. But I do remember waking up and or going to bed that night and my ears ringing. And that's probably the first early onset of my tinnitus that I have now. But true story. That's true. How about your first times on stage? Let's build up to that.
Ooh, my first time on stage, I think it was with my high school band. Well, it was a symphony band.
Really? And, okay, cool.
Harmony, it was called. It was a special class for only musical students in high school.
Awesome. That's awesome. My high school didn't have that, so that's cool that that you had that experience.
Yeah, and my first show was in secondary one, and so we did three shows per year, every year, and I went there for four years in a row. So my first show was in high school, basically.
Was it on drums automatically?
Yes, I was on percussion. Since day one, I knew I wanted to play the drums, but since I was I didn't have my growth spurts yet, so I was just like 4'2" and 4'4". I was too small to play on the drum set. So everybody taller than me would just pick me up and move me off the set.
Aww.
So I was just playing the drums at home. But when I was in high school, I was playing other percussion stuff like cymbals and triangles and such.
Well, it's a learning curve, and every experience that you're exposed to is something that you can use elsewhere. The drum set in the house, was that your dad's?
My dad bought me one because I kept bothering my parents to buy me the drum kit for the rock band game.
Yes, and he was like, "No, I'll get you even better." Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck off!
Yeah, real drum set. Because he said that even when he was young, he wanted to buy a drum set, but his parents didn't want to. So now he buys himself a drum set for me and for him.
That's sick.
I out. Practiced him.
There is a little bit more time being a young adolescent than an adult, sadly.
He bought that. I was 11, and at 11 I started playing the drums, and I stopped around 2013 for about a year. But then I started listening to metal. I started re-listening to metal because I got the. I was just starting listening to electronic music, but then I listened to Slipknot Iowa once again, and it brought me all these crushing, how do you say that word? These crushing feelings to beat up a drum.
Yes, and were you like, Dad, I need a double kick at this point?
Oh, yeah, he already bought me one.
He had already bought you one?
He bought it with a drum set.
Okay, and it came with an Iron Cobra. That's sick.
Actually, I have an Iron Cobra right now, but I bought it for myself because the old one was a Gibraltar.
Okay.
But... My first show as a drummer was with my very first band. I think it was called New Young Generation. We only did one show. It was a Halloween show, and we just did some covers. I think we did Welcome to the Jungle,
really?
Born to be Wild, and what's it called? Pour Some Sugar on Me, and Talk Dirty to Me. That's right.
There you go. All the panty melters.
Yeah.
Was there a change after that? When I joined a band in high school, all of a sudden I became more interesting to a certain demographic of the high school population. What did that happen to you, James?
My high school was not fond of my metal drumming.
Oh. Really?
I was
even in harmony? Like the harmony class
yeah,
didn't get
because,
it?
Well, you know, it's not Satilli is not a big town, and when you're out of the norm, yeah, the typical music that a youngster listens to. I was always listening to Slipknot back in the day and Slayer and heavy shit, but people just thought I was weird and listened to just noise. People just don't get it. But when I moved out to Trois-Rivières, I immediately the first week at school, I already made other metalhead friends, and that was kind of cool.
That's awesome. I have a whole thing about Trois-Rivières coming up next, but first I want to hear, Steve, your first time on stage. What's that story?
I was in grade 5.
Wow. Okay.
Fifth grade.
Yeah.
At
elementary school.
Yes. Because I got a older brother who was already in music, you know, because my father was playing drum too.
Nice.
So my bro was playing guitar and was listening to metal. I was listening to a lot of punk rock music before listening to metal, because at 11 years old, I was listening to my bro was listening to things like Deicide or stuff like that, and
all
like,
the heavy shit,
Cryptopsy or things like that, and it was like in my whoa, mamma mia, I don't understand what is going on. So I was listening to a lot of punk rock music, but at this time I was remember. We played, my brother gave me a guitar or something like that. I got a guitar and I was be able to play the first or the two or three. I don't know if I was playing them
correctly. Yeah. But enough so that you could make it work
it
for
was,
a show.
Marilyn Manson, Sweet Dreams.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, it was like a party. It was a Halloween party.
Both of you guys, Halloween parties. Yes. Look at that.
So, wow. And I got to, it was the first time I just tell to a friend, okay, your old brother got a drum at your place. You want to play drum with me? And I was leading a band for the first time.
Nice. Right out of the gate.
We played Marilyn Manson, Sweet Dream, and Bush X, Gasoline.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. But just guitar. Were you doing vocals too, or just guitars then?
I was playing guitar, but it was a bass player and a drum.
Okay.
And we were in grade 5. Oh,
that's sick. That's crazy. That's great. I know those are those parties that when you only have a few songs and then you finish and then you start them again for some reason. you play Sweet Dreams again.
Again. Sweet Dream, bro, him. Same
Glycerine.
Time, you know?
Talk to me about Trois-Rivières. I feel like it has a special aura about it, probably because of my experience playing there so often at Trois-Rivières Metal Fest. I feel like Trois-Rivières is somewhat more metal than Montreal. I don't know if I'm wrong there. I don't know if you guys, being from there now and running a band from there now, do you feel like you feel trapped or you would benefit from being in Montreal, getting more, let's say, opening slots for touring bands coming through? What is the entity of your band and Trois-Rivières have tied together?
Well, the band didn't even form in Trois-Rivières at first. I think it started in your high school with the others.
Yeah, but we were from a campaign, you know, the village.
The country, yes. Yeah,
out of the country.
So, but for a long period of time, we were like from Drummondville.
Okay, wow, okay.
Because we are from the South Shore.
Okay, wow.
Three River. But
eventually everybody moved up to here. So like I said, I'm not even from here. I'm from Sept-Îles, but I ended up moving in 2015. But I don't think that moving out of the city. Yeah. I think that Trois-Rivières is actually perfect for us because it's in the perfect middle for any big city. Like, it's in between Montreal and Quebec, and it's close to the bridge to cross the St. Lawrence River. So I think it's a bit, very good spot to set up a band because, well, I mean, it never being here never stopped us from going anywhere. I mean, we played from Toronto to Montreal from Toronto to Amqui. We played everywhere in Quebec, and we're still playing a lot of other venues because Trois-Rivières, I think.
It's in the center of all these places. We were playing a lot of gigs this year with Vortex.
I love them.
From Rimouski, and we played at Amqui, Rimouski, Saguenay, and it's like, what the fuck, man? Every time you get out to play music, man, you have to do 5 hours, 6 hours.
And it's always a big ride, and you have to carry all that shit in a trailer. Well,
and all the gas and all the shitty gas station food, but we do it because we love it.
That's the reason why, man. You're doing it for a lot of time. Maybe
I've been in Cryptopsy for 16 years now. This year, I guess we're moving on to my 17th year, very shortly. And talk to me about 20 Down Metal Fest, though. I think that it came back this year. Cryptopsy was supposed to be a part of it. I was a bit disappointed we didn't get to do it, but we had to make a decision on that one. That was out of our hands. I feel like the festival is something important for Quebec, especially with Heavy Montreal, who does present and will be presenting this episode, and I love them, but the festival doesn't exist anymore or is on hiatus and has been on hiatus for quite some time. I feel like 20 Val Metal Fest is important. What is your relationship with that fest?
I've been... I played with Samuel Landry, who was leading our fiction for a long time and was in the founder member of the Three River Metal Fest. And I saw all the old thing. I was volunteer for like 6 years, maybe, at the Espace Industriel at Three River.
Yep.
You know?
That wonderful metal building that didn't sound very good at all.
Whoa.
It is better now. So Sound Kojiko is really very good. And I'm sure that it was awesome this year.
Yes. Next year, Cryptopsy will be there.
We will see. I will see. Lots of love to the 20 Vial Metal Fest crew. They can send us an offer, and we could talk about it. But I hope that they've forgiven us for not being a part of this year's, because it was definitely not a personal thing. It was a business decision on our end. Talk to us about working with Donaldson. Talk to everyone. Talk to me. Talk to me about working with Donaldson, my guitarist. He produced, he mixed, he mastered, all to dominate your brand new record. What was your decision process like to go and work with Donaldson?
I think that we were brainstorming at one point because we were searching for someone to for recording the new album. And... I think that Johnny Dead threw up the idea of Chris Donaldson. He threw up a bunch of his albums that he had produced. And we were listening to it, and we were looking up how much it could possibly cost. And we were like, we should. And we all agreed to try to pick up him. So I think we did a submission, and it got accepted by the end. And we kept saving money for a long time before doing the submission, just for the recording of the album. So we already had some kind of money in our back pocket for this recording. And
for everybody who is playing music, and didn't know if he have to, if he should. Not because it's not expensive, really not. The reason why at the beginning, Johnny just listened to every producer in the area, and he just told us, Chris just sounding so fucking great, man.
I'm glad you say it. I do definitely think that he's underappreciated, and a lot of we talk about this a lot, me and Chris, is if he lived in the States, hypothetically, would he be more high profile? I keep pushing him to charge more, so I apologize to everyone that will want to work with him in the future, because me and whenever he talks about anything, well, it's just you got to charge more, and eventually people will think that you're worth more.
Yes.
So I apologize to you guys if you want to go back to him, but maybe he'll give you like a friend deal. How was that experience working with Chris, and what are you, were you, what was like the whole experience like?
At the beginning, we were like, yeah, he sound like fucking big, man, and huge.
Everything he does sounds great, and every band he works with sounds amazing. It sounds big, it sounds huge. But we weren't sure, because we knew that Chris was playing in Cryptopsy, and most of the bands that he kept producing were all big bands with extreme brutal death metal and big extreme music. So we weren't sure if he was gonna like our style, because we tend to move from genre to genre in each of our songs. It's never like the same style for the entire album. So we weren't sure if he was going to dig it, but he ended up really having a lot of fun and really digging the songs that were recorded. And for me, the recording went super well. The entire drum tracks were recorded in 4 days, went super well. And the other guys, I think that Johnny Dead did a lot of work with Chris for this album.
Yes.
Too.
Personally, I'm not very.
I'm not the. Let's say you're not the. You're not the one to be especially on time with practice and.
But when we have to do something, I would be there. But
yeah, he does it.
Yeah, I'm a hard worker, but we're recording with a guy who's playing. Oh, you are the singer from that band, man.
He is very, very, very fun to work with for vocals. I don't know if you recorded with him, but that experience of tracking vocals with Chris is, he comes up with these ideas and patterns, and he's extremely difficult.
He pushed me to a level that I can't reach without him.
Now the struggle is, and it's something that all singers have to go through, and you're about to do it this coming weekend, which will be in the past when this episode comes out, is now you need to do it live. Did you struggle with that? Did you have to overcome that?
Yeah.
Oh, this album's amazing. I'm so happy with this vocal recording that Chris made me get out of myself. And then you go to start practicing and doing it live, and you're like, God damn it. And you have to put some work in to be able to do it.
Hey, man. And you, for your part.
100%. I have. There's 100 times that I'm like, motherfucking Chris Donaldson.
man. For me, it's like, oh, okay.
I'm going to go to the gym.
Oh, no. Okay. I will do it live and do
a live version, yeah.
I will. You will modify it.
Shame on me.
There is one part in Lascivious Undivine, the first track from the new record, that there's one syllable that I can't do, and I just breathe on it because it's. Well, I can do it, but I can do it in a voice that I'd rather not do it in. So I sacrifice one syllable with a breath. Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States, and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. Something that you guys did last year was massively very cool, and I was very proud of you guys, even though I'd never met you. You won the Vakken battle for Canada. You went to Vakken. You played at Vakken. Talk to me about your mindset just signing up to a contest first off, because, you know, you're not young guys. I know myself that I will not do contests anymore because we know what goes into that. You invite your friends, you got to get voted through. It's a whole thing. So why did you say yes or even apply in the first place? Obviously the answer is because it's fucking Vakken, but I want your side of it.
Yes, that's the reason why, man. I was subscribed to John Asher newsletter from Asher Meets Everyday Show.
Shout out to John for putting this interview together.
Yes. All that. And I saw an email. It was like, paying it back in. Why not? Why not? Some people that tells me, okay, you don't win the
You didn't win the entire competition.
Will you subscribe another time day and will you come? And I said yes. No. I don't want people to remember me because I win a competition. You know they.
Strig Empire is more than the winner of that. Yeah.
But I think they. It would be a pleasure for me to see other band get there because they win the contest. But no, not for me. I did the experience once, and I'm really proud. I'm happy with it because we just got a lot more exposure.
Yeah, and visibility is definitely a lot more eyes on you guys. Would you, after everything you're saying, before I get James's side of this, would you encourage other bands to do it?
Yes.
Go for it. Because
even before thinking about the competition,
we had to think about all the entire process that we.
I practice
more than
you became a much more in better shape musician because of all the shows and this little wins and I winning is fun though. It does feel good.
Yeah. You know when you got your balls to the walls,
It feels good. It feels good because you don't know. You wake up that morning and you're like, it's like a playoff hockey. You know, you wake up in the morning and your team could be eliminated. Or you can go through, and you guys went through multiple rounds.
You have to listen to every comment. Even if you win a battle, never think that you are the one.
Oh no, never, no. Christian Donaldson lets me know that all the time. For people that don't know, the Vakken battle. You win it, and there's multiple stages, and you go through, like, the local one, the Quebec one, and then there's, like, other ones that go through, and then you have to compete against everyone that won in all the regions for the country. So you guys win that. You go to Vakken, and then you play the Thursday, I think, or the Wednesday.
I think we played Tuesday?
The Tuesday, even. So it's like the warming up part of Wacken. So tell me this exposure. You finally get there. You're at Wacken. You're in the camping. You drink a bunch of beer because someone gave you a beer. You take some shots. You're looking for Steve. What is this show like? Did it live up to the expectation? All of the stress, all of the buildup, all of these levels, that time on stage, was it worth it?
Well, I only thought about it once I got done with the show.
Isn't that funny? How that, yeah.
But after the show got done, I was like, wow, all right, this was worth it. But it was even after the show was done, we still had to the entire festival to ourselves. So we ended up partying the entire week at Wacken, and that's when we truly I think that's when I realized that this was worth it. And,
your campsite stayed dry.
but you know, it was more like I think you played there, huh?
I've played Wacken once, yeah.
The hour before was not like
for us it was a clusterfuck. I've talked about on the podcast before that we were super late and we showed up like right before and we stepped on stage and I was handed a mic that wasn't even mine and we just had to go. So it was very, very stressful. And then we had a good time at Wacken.
I've heard you were like rushing by the airport and
No, we had played a gig the day before and then we had a very, very, very long drive and a driver that didn't want to put the work in that needed to be put in, which is good for he listened to his body and we have to respect that. But it put us in a very, very, very stressful situation. When you win, sorry, I don't know the answer to this, and I don't want to throw the Wacken people under the bus here. When you win, what do you win? You win passes to the entire festival. You win a chance to play the opening night, the pre-party. Do they pay your plane tickets? Does that have to come out of you guys?
When you win the third round, we got a ticket to go to Wacken, and we've had about $1,000 or $2,000.
$1,000
for the trip, but it was clearly not enough.
No, plane tickets is about 5,000 euros for a band to go somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, but they gave us a cool banner, the banner for the second round, the back and middle battle. They gave us the banner, and but that's about any prize they gave us, because the real prizes that you could get were at Wacken when you would compete against
all the other people that came and won across the globe compete then at Wacken.
Yes.
And, oh, so I missed that part of it.
And then there's still a lot of judges that who would watch the show, and we would know the winner of the definitive Wacken Metal Battle 2023 on Friday, but we weren't on the top five list, so we didn't win anything. But the prize were like the top five would each get a guitar and a cymbal, and I think that's
right. Yeah, I think it's more about the exposure, you know.
The exposure and like who the judges are. Hypothetically, like there's a dude from Nuclear Blast or Century Media sitting in the crowd that day and they see you guys and then they're like, oh shit, who's this band? I feel like that happened to Crimson Shadows, hypothetically, which is another Canadian band that got picked up after their experience at Wacken.
Well, there's a lot of good things that happened too at Wacken. Not just physical prizes. We got a lot of contacts. We've made a lot of friends with the other bands that were playing there. We met buses, for fuck's sake. I was happy.
Okay, we are there in and back in, but how many time we have food and air?
How long do we have food and water?
And it's just like a band like Cryptopsy or Megadeth or something like that. You know, you're there for one day, you play your date, and then you go, you leave.
Correct.
Or like there for five days.
And then you have to go purchase your own food and your own water and everything.
No, not really.
we got a bit tricky.
You are Quebecois and we tend to do that, and I'm proud of us for doing that.
Hey, We did it well.
It's okay to fuck the system if the system fucks you first.
I agree. I totally agree. I'm proud of you guys. I'm glad you guys did it. I'm excited to see what comes from this. You're doing your all to dominate CD launch. It will have just happened when the episode comes out. You're doing it in the next few days. I hope that it goes off smashingly. I hope you have a great time. You know, it happens to everyone every once in a while, and hypothetically the day after the CD launch, so Sunday morning, you might have a hangover. And this is the classic Vox and Hops wrap-up question. I'd like to know your hangover cures. So when you wake up after your CD launch, all to dominate, what are you going to do to make yourself feel better?
I don't know if I will wake up from that night.
He hasn't anticipated it yet.
Yes. I turn myself to be tranquil.
To be calm by the end of the show.
No. All that week.
All right.
Leading up to it, so that night you can really give it.
Yeah, I will give it everything I have. And maybe I will wake up, scrap
on top of neck. Yeah.
Monday morning.
I will get back into that mindset. And maybe eat a poutine or something very strong.
There you go. Yes. The poutine, the classic Quebecois hangover cure. Yeah. James, you won't have any problem because you're not going to overindulge.
Well, if I have a hangover, my cure is vomit and weed. So yep. That's it.
Another classic. Steve, James, thank you so much for taking the time hanging out with me, talking about your life, talking about music, talking about craft beer, talking about your experience at Vakken, talking about your brand new record, All to Dominate, working with Christian Donaldson. This has been a blast. I'm proud of you guys. I'm stoked to see you live. Let's hang out soon. Massive cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks to you.
Yes.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right today. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was an awesome conversation. I am so proud of these dudes from 20 Vial, going all the way from 20 Vial to Vakken, and now far beyond. I am also extremely excited the way that Steve explained that he does not want Vakken to be the sum-all, end-all of the band. String Empire is much bigger than their experience at Vakken, and I think it's genius and smart and very a great way to approach his career, to think that there's only bigger things coming. So massive, massive cheers to Steve and James for hanging out with me. Go check out that brand new record that Christian Donaldson just worked on. It's an absolute banger. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. You could do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's VOXANDHOPS.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week that contains all of the details of everything that has happened in the world of the Vox and Hops Middle Podcast. You will get to see which episodes I dropped recently. You will also get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will get to hear about any projects I have in the works for the Vox and Hops Middle Podcast, and you will also be updated on whatever I got going on with Cryptopsy. That's right. Cryptopsy, we just dropped our brand new album back in September of 2023, and we are doing a whole bunch of stuff. We are planning a massive 2024, starting with that European tour, the Unquestionable Blasphemy Tour with Atheist that's coming up at the end of February. It's running all across Europe until the end of March. You also get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently, and you will get to see which albums Jerry Monk, Vox and Hops' metal architect, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist. There's always a lot of stuff going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, and I hate when you miss a single thing, so do me a favor and sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer rest of the week. I will be back next week with one episode with Roar Cat on Tuesday, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops hits.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.